Are you guys first three days? Oh, thank you for the clarification. Yes. Hey, with the Live Dead Challenge, we're going to count them days. All right. I'm here just to make sure we recap what last week was about and what we're committing to with the Live Dead Challenge. You should have received an email. If you didn't receive the email, that means you're not getting our emails, and you need to let us know you did not get it. Okay. If you guys are, you should be getting emails every week, right, Candace? Candace is sending them. Let me just say this. If you're not, you need to denote that on the sign-in sheet on the table, and Candace will make sure we ensure that you are. All right, let's just real quick. I just want to go over the few things we're committing to with the Live Dead Challenge. I just want to clarify, it is not a requirement. It's not a requirement to finish Grow 3. It is a strong, strong suggestion. Your life will be better. Those of you who have started and you're reading it, you already understand the power of it after just 3 days. It is life-changing. In fact, after the first journal entry, I literally put it down, texted Pastor Stephen and Justin Lindsay, and was just in tears just over David Livingstone and that story. What an incredible story of faith. So what are we asking you to commit to? Technically, the Live Dead Challenge is really about tithing your time a day to spend with God. So 10% of your day. Now, if you read the introduction, help me watch my time because I've got to jot over to Grow 1. Okay. If you read the introduction, you read that it's really not about legalism. And you got to watch out for that, you A-type personalities. Don't turn this into legalism. I already had a horrendous day yesterday and had some birthday stuff to do for my son. And so Jesus didn't get 10% of my day. But today, I think he's at about 20. So it's the heart, okay? But you're tithing your time with God in 1 day, 2.5 hours, all right? The whole purpose, though, I love what he said. Oh, my goodness, it was so good when he said, living dead becomes so much easier when you find the joy of abiding. And I thought, that is so fantastic. That is so good. So we're asking you to commit for 30 days to tithe your time alone with God each day, okay? I throw in there a fast. Our interns did it. It really just makes it so much more powerful when you're fasting. I'm just doing fasting bread for 30 days. I'm saying that just to reassure those of you guys who are like, I can't do food for 30 whole days. That's okay. The Lord will show you what to do. And it's not too late to get started. It's not too late to get started, okay? You're also committing to pray for those unreached people groups. Isn't that fascinating? Are you guys enjoying that? What a powerful prayer tool they came up with. So I just want to make sure you understand, and you're committing to journal every day. You're committing to journal what God's speaking to you about in the back, and know that this night on, we're going to start just sharing highlights from it just quickly at the beginning of class, maybe at the end, just to get to share with each other. Trust me, you're going to have stuff you want to share, of stuff that really stands out to you and impacts you through this challenge. Okay, Dawn. It's okay.
So you miss a day. So I'm probably going to miss a little bit of tonight.
Don't. That's okay. They're so short, Dawn. If there was even one day where you had like 30 minutes, you could probably read 3 days worth in 30 minutes. Easy. You can't worry. Can I give you my own story? Yesterday, I think I had an hour with the Lord. And I can either beat myself up over that, or I started today, so today's a new day. I'm gonna do my best to get back on track today. But I did have to spend time last night finding my son his birthday present because I don't have it, and his birthday is this weekend, and I was kind of freaking out. So I had to figure that out. And you know what? Annette Lee, one of our former worship pastors, she taught me. She said, Talia, taking care of your kids as a mom, that's worship. And we sometimes feel like, Dawn, you need to hear that. Taking care of your mom like that, that's worship to God. And that doesn't subtract away. I believe if Jesus were here in the flesh, he'd be at the hospital with your mom. And you know what? He was at the hospital with your mom. All right? So and what I also love, Dawn, is how he even says, incorporate Christ in those everyday moments like that, when you're taking the kids somewhere, when you're in your car. It's about that abiding presence with Jesus. So let's make sure we unbuckle. Very good example. I'm so glad you brought that up. Let's unbuckle from this idea that we're in our prayer closet for 2.5 hours. All right? Let's incorporate Christ where we can all through the day, especially those of you guys in special seasons of life. Right? He does in the introduction. So maybe you need to, everyone reread that introduction. It's so wonderful. It's over.
That's it.
Yep.
and they seem to be getting up earlier and earlier.
Where's Rayla? That's her story. Yeah. What happened, Sandy? I literally made that a huge point of my prayer life. I said, Jesus, make Victoria stay asleep. And Jesus, God, I just pray a spirit of slumber over my child. Do you think I'm joking? I'm crazy. If I did, guess what? That kids are sleeping. Kids are sleeping. All right, just wanted to remind you guys of that. You're in for a treat tonight. We're going into a new section on enemies of surrender. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this teaching. And I know I say that all the time, but like seriously about this one. Like this one's really, really good. You guys are going to really be stretched tonight as you learn how to overcome enemies of surrender. I want you guys to welcome Pastor Stephen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Taya. I missed you guys last week. Man. You're going to kill. Yeah, you told me that. I noticed there's some empty chairs, so I didn't take you literally, but maybe I should. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Yeah. But, man, I really did miss you guys. I was telling the table hosts and stuff as we prayed beforehand that I actually took 3 days off. I had planned this like 2 months ago to finish baseboard and molding and quarter round around my house. So it was total amateur carpenter hour at my house for 3 days, and it was, oh my gosh, I about lost my mind with all the angles, and there was a couple corners that I probably spent, I don't know how many times I cut pieces of quarter round and everything out. I was like, whoo, I needed prayer at that moment. But I missed you guys. What's that? No, it wasn't from the plumbing problem. But I've had that too in the last couple of months. And, and I had another one the other day. And so, yeah, my mother-in-law was here for 10 days during that time. And she left and was a great help to us and left me a plumbing issue before she left in the sink. So anyway, we better move on. But guys, I did miss you, and I know last week was awesome. I know it was incredible. I know it was great. Anytime Pastor Talia gets the opportunity to teach, it's good stuff. And as she said, guys, we have made kind of a transition. The next 3 weeks are set up to, again, talk about these enemies of surrender. And we talked about that, we talked about this idea that Grow Track 3 is about living lives of deep obedience that cost us something. So surrender is involved in that. And I'm real excited about tonight's teaching. One, because personally, it's an area that I've wrestled with my whole life, and that is fear. Anybody ever struggled with fear? Probably all of us, right? And the enemy has used that in my life at times so much. And so I'm really excited because I know the content has really struck a chord with me, and my prayer is that it would do the same for you guys. And I truly believe that some of you in this room, that's a tough area for you, is the area of fear, for whatever reason. And my heart is that God gives us some tools tonight to begin to set you free, literally, okay? So have an open heart, to that. In fact, let's just stop and pray and ask the Lord to just bless tonight in the teaching, okay? Lord, we love you. I love this group, God. I've just so enjoyed being with them. And God, I just love how hungry they are for more of you, God, to learn more about your word and to live in Christ-like character, Lord God, and convictions. And God, now to listen and walk through this semester, this idea of being so obedient in our relationship with you that even if it cost us something, God, that we're willing to surrender certain things so that we can be all that you've called us to be, to reach the destiny and the dreams that you have for us. And so, God, tonight as we kick off the next 3 weeks of talking about these enemies of surrender and we kick it off with fear, God, I pray that our hearts would be open. I pray for those in the room tonight that is the moment I said fear, they said, yep, that's me. That's something I have wrestled with my whole life. And I pray that they would hear something from this tonight, God, that they've never heard before. Or maybe they've heard it before, but it grips them in a different way and begins to a process of freedom for them in their life, and that it does not keep them from the surrender that you're calling us to. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mention a couple things. Go ahead. What are a couple things that you're fearful of?
Snakes.
Amen. Yes. Anything else? Maybe even when you were a kid. What was something you were scared of when you were a kid? Failure? What was that? Failure. Yeah. That's not just when you're a kid. Hey, that's absolutely. That's a definite fear. Yeah. Fear of rejection. Yeah. Who's ever in the dark? Yeah, absolutely. Whoever's under the bed, whoever's in the closet. Did you really? I'm gonna use that as an illustration later, so you might want to bring that picture up later. Well, guys, fear, let me go ahead and start off in your notes. There's a definition of the word fear that we'll talk about here. Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That's what fear is. That's a definition of fear. And, you know, I remember as a kid, I am 40 years old now, so just for reference, but some of you are not as old as I am, and you may not remember this, but how many of you remember the no fear gear, like the shirts and stuff? Raise your hand. Those were pretty cool, man. I think, I don't know, middle school, high school, I don't remember when it was, but I had to have that shirt. It was basically this clothing line that a lot of sports stuff, and it was this idea of no fear, and I had to have the shirt and stuff, and we all want to say that. We all want to, like, wear the clothes, right? But the idea is that many of us struggle with fear, and some people are just gripped by it. I remember as a child just being totally afraid of bad weather. I grew up in Beaumont, Silsbee, Texas, just up the road here, and I remember being in like fourth grade, and there was a really, really, really bad storm that my parents drove through, and from that moment on, I was like scared, and the enemy just used that as a tool of fear in my life, and it was actually my mom that helped me memorize, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And I would add to the end of that, including bad weather. I would always throw that at the end. And that helped me. But we've all, whether it's when we were children or whether as adults now, we still can wrestle with this idea of fear. And fear can be such an enemy of this idea of surrender. And so there's an acronym here for fear that I want to talk about for just a second. And the acronym is this. The F stands for false, right? False. And then E is evidence, A is appearing, and R is real. So there's this acronym that fear is this false evidence appearing real. I don't know if it's not going to be on the screens there. It's just something to add to your notes. And there's no true threat of imminent physical danger. There's no threat of the loss of someone or something dear to us. There's actually nothing there at all. It's just fear, a false evidence appearing real to us, right? And here's the deal, guys. Satan, that's his native language, is fear. And more specifically, it's lying, right? That's his native tongue. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 44, it speaks to that. It talks about that Satan's native language is lying. And lying is fear. And one of my, I'm a huge Hillsong United fan. Anybody else like Hillsong United? I love those guys. And anybody heard the song Not Today? Right? Not Today, Satan, right? And you see it on t-shirts and stuff. But there's this song called Not Today. And I love that song. Well, there's a line in the song that says, fear is a liar running out of breath. And I love that line. I love that phrase about fear, about the idea that it is a liar. And that's so true. The enemy uses that because it's his native language, is lying and fear, right? But the Bible teaches us, here's something really important, and is that fear is both an emotion and a spirit. Did you guys realize that? Of course it's an emotion. So what I'm not teaching you tonight is to walk out of here and think that you're never going to have the emotion of fear. That's just not going to happen, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. If I asked one of you to just, if I just handpicked one of you and handed you the microphone and said, get up here and tell us your story, some of you, raise your hand if you would be fearful at that very moment, right? Fear is an emotion, but it's also a spirit, right? And so, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, probably a verse that a lot of us can quote in this room, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so it is both an emotion and a spirit. But here's what's really amazing to me. I did not realize this till I was getting ready for this, is that the phrase fear not in the Bible, it's used at least 80 times in the Bible, which means what? It means that God knows the enemy would try to use it, right? It's probably pretty important if it's listed 80 times, right? But it's told to us 80 times to fear not. And yet fear is such a tool of the enemy, right? Well, how does fear work against us? Well, let's jump into here a little bit further into our notes. How does fear work against us? Well, fear causes us to doubt ourselves and our abilities. How many of you can quote the mission of Timber Creek Church? Anybody? That's our strategy. But our mission is your God-given potential is our mission. Good job, though. That's good, though. Your God-given potential. And here's the deal, guys. Every single one of you in this room, you have a God-given potential. Some of you are operating in it. I know you. And God's called you to certain things, and you're operating in that. Some of you, you still aren't. And I don't say that as a detriment to you. I'm just saying maybe fear has something to do with that, and you're not completely operating in that just yet, right? But you have God-given potential. And fear is used as a tool to doubt ourselves, right? We let the enemy say, I'm not good enough. You know, I'm right there. I'm telling you, fear, as I said earlier, this is a huge teaching for me because this is something the enemy's used. I ask myself all the time. I've been here 3.5 years. And when you work with Jeremy Yancey and Talia Vanderleest and some of these other talented jokers that I work with, I just many times ask myself, what in the world am I doing here? How did I end up in Love Kid? And that's true to a sense, like, and it's okay for me to feel that way, but I also know the enemy can lie to me and get me to be fearful, and I have to remind myself, as the Lord reminds me, I got you here for a reason, because absolutely, man, but no, it's that, you know, God has given me specific tools and abilities that some of them don't have, or a different personality than some of them have, and he's put me here for a reason. And so I struggle with it just like everybody else does, but fear causes us to doubt ourselves and then the abilities that God has given us. Fear also causes us to doubt God and others, and that's the big one there. You know, the enemy will use that. See, I told you God wasn't real. See, I told you that wasn't going to work out. I know you read this or you heard that in a teaching, but see, that's not for you. That was for everybody else, right? And see how the enemy can just twist things and use fear to make us doubt God, doubt his word, right, and the truths of his word, and even doubt other people that believe in us. My prayer and my hope is that you've got people that are speaking into your life, and the enemy will try to put fear in there to make you doubt those other people that are speaking true life and godly truth into your life, right? Fear causes us also to miss out on unique opportunities in life and in ministry. I believe in this room, there are group leaders that are not leading groups, maybe. I believe that there are incredible men and women in this room that have the ability to lead children and teach children and be involved in kid works or early childhood, but you're not. Not because you're lazy, not because you whatever, you're just fearful. I believe that there's some people in here that could be table host in Grow Track, be table host in Encounter, could be table host in Starting Point, but you're fearful because you think that you're not good enough, you're not talented enough. You see a Jeremy Pyatt or a Jolene Price, and you think I'm just not like them. I don't know the word like them, so I can't do that. And you allow the enemy to speak to you that way and put fear in your heart, and you miss out on opportunities for in life and in ministry. And we can't allow that to happen. Yes, sir. That's awesome. That's good stuff, man. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, maybe for many of us, it's just this idea of fear that we've got to give that over to the Lord. And that's really held us back from as we've been talking tonight. And I love that you shared 1 Samuel 17. That's exactly where I'm reading right now. And I read that many times. But in 1 Samuel right now, God is just messing with me right now as I read through each chapter. Well, let's keep going here. Fear prevents us from connecting connecting in intimacy and depth of relationships with others. Yes, absolutely. That's very true. Yeah, broken relationships, you've been hurt by other people, that can affect your relationship with the Lord or with other people, and it prevents you, it keeps you from that intimacy that God wants you to have with Him, the intimacy that He wants you to have with a spouse. You know, certain things happen, and it can even prevent, and, you know, I see so many times that, marriages that are just broken and busted up because of some of these very things, that they have a fear, you know, and they're missing out on so much because they're afraid of intimacy, even with their own spouse, right, because of the fear of past hurts and past pains and different things like that. So fear prevents us from connecting in intimacy and depth in relationship with other people. Another thing here, too, and this has the word that when I think of fear that I've always thought of for years, and that's fear paralyzes us, right? When I think of fear, that's what I think of a lot. I guess that's been my struggle is that there's been times where I've felt paralyzed, where I'm not moving, I'm not doing anything, and I know I should be stepping out, I know I should be doing something, but fear has paralyzed. But it paralyzes us from connecting us from moving forward. And that's the thing, guys. God wants us to constantly be moving, constantly be growing, right? I wish I could say that the recent season that where God stretched you, that He's not going to stretch you again. That's not true, right? Because as you turn the corner, there's going to be a new season, and if you allow Him to, He's going to stretch you some more, right? And so, but it's so worth it, right? And we don't want to allow fear to paralyze us and prevent us from moving forward in our relationship with Him and reaching our God-given potential. Here's the deal, guys, and I want you to understand this. We can be in Christ and still be paralyzed by fear. Did you guys hear that? That's for Grow Track 3. Okay, you guys have been through Grow Track. Some of you have been in church many, many years. You love the Lord. You're serving the Lord. But you can be in Christ and still be paralyzed by fear. And the enemy wants to do that. And it keeps so many people, so many Christians, from reaching their God-given potential. It keeps them from reaching new goals and doing things for the kingdom of God because they're simply just fearful for whatever reason, okay? Well, let's look at some different people. The Bible is filled with men and women who struggle with it too. So you're not alone tonight. I'm not alone. We're not alone. I'm going to kind of run through these kind of quickly because we've got a lot of information tonight. But number one, Moses feared his mission and being God's mouthpiece, right? How many of you know his story, right? I mean, he had a pretty big mission in front of him. This guy, he has ran from everything. He's a murderer, basically, right? I mean, he is, and he has run away, and God finds him, and there's a burning bush, right, which would kind of get my attention. I don't know about you guys. And God begins to speak to him and wants to use him and says, man, I'm not done with you yet. Wait, I'm a murderer. I'm a mess. Doesn't matter. God's still going to use him. And then he begins, as you read, you talk about that he had this speech impediment or this stutter or whatever it might have been that he had, and he was fearful. He was fearful of the size of the mission and what God was calling him to do, and he was fearful to be a mouthpiece, not just to God's people, but to Pharaoh and anybody else that he was going to have to speak to on behalf of God. He was fearful, and yet God still used him, right? Gideon, right? He feared being discovered and killed by the Midianites, right? In Judges. Number three, Peter feared being captured by the Romans and the Jewish Pharisees, right? He had seen what happened to Jesus. He had seen what happened to some Christians, right? He was fearful. And even Peter, the one who his mouth got him in trouble a lot and his emotions got ahead of him sometimes, right? The guy that was all over the place but later would be called the Rock, right? You know, God saw the potential in him, but he was fearful for a time there. But he ended up getting past that and being used of God. Number four, the Israelites feared going without their basic needs being met in the desert. We can relate to that. Financial, monetary needs and worrying about those things. How are we going to provide? I'm just going to be transparent with you tonight. My family went through a very difficult time when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. My dad was a business owner, and he lost everything. We went from a nice home. We ended up in Montana, from Silsby, Texas, Beaumont, Texas, all the way to Montana when I was 13 years old. And we lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I slept on a mattress in the living room, and I watched my dad go through that experience. And the enemy has tried to use that. Now my daughter is 12, about to turn 13. You know how many times in the last couple of years he said, you're going to end up just like him. Natalie's going to have to go through the same thing. You're bad with money, just like your dad. Or you're this, or you're that, right? If we're not careful, guys, fear becomes the soundtrack of our life. And we cannot allow that to happen. And who are the brothers and sisters of fear? Anxiety, worry, doubt, they're cousins, right? And anxiety has this stranglehold on America. I don't know if you've noticed that. It just does. Like, people are dying from it, in a sense. I mean, it's just, it's gripped, and it has America by the throat, in a sense, you know? And it can become, fear can become this soundtrack if we allow it to, right? But we don't have to. And it's so encouraging to see through Scripture that people still struggled with this, these great men and women of God. Number five. I love this one. 10 out of the 12 spies in the Old Testament early on, sent to explore Canaan, the promised land, feared failure. I know that was one of them that we mentioned earlier, that a lot of us, whether we're kids or even adults now, we still fear failure. Joshua and Caleb versus the 10 other spies. Joshua and Caleb, they were ready. They were confident. They had seen what God had done. They didn't care how big those people were. They didn't care how many there were. They were ready to go because they knew what? They knew God had said it. God had commanded them and was leading them. But yet the other 10, right? The other 10 were much louder, I guess, in a sense. And notice the correlation between how they felt with how they thought others saw them. You look in Numbers chapter 13, 33. It talks about these people that they saw in the land. And we felt as small as grasshoppers, right? And that's how we must have looked to them. It's this power of perception that comes with fear. We perceive, we have this perception, how other people see us, and we don't think about how and what God says about how he sees us, right? And fear can grip us, right? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, yeah. That's right, that's right. That's right. They couldn't get past, the other 10 couldn't get past the circumstances, the outward circumstances and what they saw with their own eyes and not trusting the promises of God and the faith to see it as God sees it and to trust him, right? These biblical heroes of the faith, right, they struggled with fears of all sorts. Thank goodness we're not alone, right? And yet God helped them to not only conquer their fears and also lead them to great victories, they also learned to lean away from fear and lean into God, right? And how God was going to provide what they lacked in order to succeed, right? And so they leaned away from the fear and they leaned into God and trusted him and trusted those promises, right? And so what does it mean for you guys, real quick, to see these biblical examples and know that they also wrestled with fear? How does that make you feel?
We have hope.
We have hope. It's right, right? It makes you feel a little bit better, right? So how do we do this? How do we overcome? How do we overcome fear, our fears, okay? Let's jump into this. How to overcome our fears. Number one, you got to identify the true source of your fear. You've got to identify the true source of your fear. How do we do that? We unmask the villain, okay? Who is the villain? Who is the one causing the fear? What situation is causing the fear in your life? We've got to unmask that, right? Where is the fear coming from? Was it a bad experience that you had? Like I spoke about that. It seems silly when I even say that out loud, but because my dad went through that, the enemy was saying, you're going to go through that too. No, I'm not, right? I'm not perfect with money, but I don't have to go through that. I'm going to trust the Lord, right? And maybe it was a bad experience. Like I said, when I was a kid, go through one bad hurricane or storm, right? But it affected me for quite a few years as a kid, right? And so those things grow up into big adult fears as we get older. And some of those things are followed from the time we were little, right? So just huge things. But where is this fear coming from? Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're super cautious about storms or whatever.
Absolutely.
I actually see it a little bit in our not in our immediate family, mm-hmm. but in our extended family of some nephews. I have one nephew that's very, very fearful, and that's a lot of that's been just.
Yeah. It's so true. As soon as you said that, I'm immediately reminded of the illustration. Maybe I've heard this of the generation of women in a family that cook a ham or
the roast,
they cut the ends off. And by the time it got to like third generation, she finally was like, why do we do this? Well, that's just the way I was taught. And then you back all the way up to like the great grandmother who first started doing it. It was because she just couldn't fit it correctly in the oven. Right. You know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, so it's, I didn't tell it very well, but that's the idea. Right. But I think fears are the same way that can be passed down. And you know, well, yeah, I'm just worried about this or scared for that because that's just what I learned and observed, you know, my parents do or my mom or my dad. Yeah.
When I was, like, in junior high, we had a teacher that if you didn't know the math answer, they'd throw the answer at you. And the fear that took hold of me caused me many years to freeze up if I had a math question come at me or had to work something out even in the work.
Yeah. Absolutely. That stuff just follows us. Something you think about it now and you think, well, that was so small and insignificant, but not as a child, you know. Throw it right back at them. There you go. That's good. Probably when he wasn't looking. That's right. So number two is we overcome fears by we got to face our fears. That's not fun sometimes. But here's the idea, guys. Running from them actually gives them strength, your fears. Okay? So when you run from them, it strengthens them. Sometimes you just have to turn around and you got to, I guess one way to put it is punch the bully in the mouth. I don't know. You know, sometimes you just, that bully of fear, you have to stand your ground, right? And you might get roughed up a little bit, but it's showing the enemy that I'm not going to run from this. I'm going to trust God. God's promises tell me this, and they tell me that, and I'm going to stand up to it. Sometimes we just have to face our fears because running from them gives them strength. Ignoring them keeps you stagnant and keeps you unmoving, and the enemy loves that. He loves a bunch of Christians. He doesn't mind if we show up and go to church and lift our hands and give in the offering plate and do all those things. But as long as we're just stagnant and we're not doing anything and we're not moving, he's good with that. He didn't mind that. Now, he doesn't like Grow Track. He doesn't like Encounter. He doesn't like Starting Point. He does not like the fact that this campus right now is filled with hundreds of people and students that are actually moving. That's what he doesn't like. And that's why some of us are feeling the attacks that we're feeling, right? And so fear does that to us. But we've got to face those fears. Also, facing them weakens them, right? The more you face your fears, it weakens them, right? I know that everybody has different personalities, you know, and so take that carefully. You know, I know not everybody in here can grab a microphone and stand in front of tons of people and talk, you know, and share something, right? And sometimes that's just an emotion of fear, and your personality is the way it is. But there are fears in your life that sometimes you just have to stand up and face them because it weakens them. Yeah. That's good. That's awesome. Great reminder. Yeah, and I'm actually going to bring that up towards the end. So you segued really good for that. Thank you. And no, that's good. That's so good. Here's a couple great quotes. Bryn Brown, and she's a researcher at the University of Houston, actually, graduate school in social work. And she's the author of Daring Greatly is the name of the book. But she says, I think the first thing we have to do is figure out what's keeping us out of the arena. What's the fear, right? So in life, in our walk of life, right, what is the fear? Where and why do we want to be braver? Then we have to figure out how we're currently protecting ourselves from vulnerability. What is our armor? Is it perfectionism, intellectualism, cynicism, numbing, control? And that's where I started. It's not an easy walk into that arena, but it's where we come alive. And so it's kind of facing those fears, right? We've got to do that. Another great quote here, another idea with this. When it comes to fear, one psychologist said that the only way out is through, right? And it's true. One of the most effective ways to banish fear is to repeatedly force yourself to face what you're afraid of. Research has found that this repeated exposure lowers the psychological fear response until it is more manageable or in some cases gone, right? So those of you that are afraid of public speaking, we just need to get you up here and make you do it. No, I'm just kidding. That's okay. That's all right. That's wisdom. The only time I did that, freshman in high school, was in a big line of friends. I was at the end, and this clown guy comes out of the corner, and I literally kicked him and ran. And that was the only other time I've been in there. I don't know who the guy was, and I felt bad. I kicked him. That's all I know. I was 15. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, here we go. Hey, why don't you guys give a couple practical examples of some fears that we have and what facing them looks like. What are some practical fears that some of us have, and what does it look like to face them? Anybody? Yes. Bullying, okay. Yeah. he was Goliath. And you were
I was feeding my Goliath
right
then and there, and he charged me. To this day, I don't know other than it was God. I just bent down a little bit, and when he came, I just grabbed him between the legs and snapped the neck, and I swung him over, and I gave him a body slam.
I mean, man, don't. Don't mess with Dan Ewing. You need to start a group on self-defense. I need a group for you next semester. Right.
These guys came over to me and says, "Trust me, Dan, you'll never have any problem with anybody."
That's awesome. That's good. What?
But you know, I had to face my fear right then.
Yeah.
It wasn't something I was asking for, mm-hmm. but it was there. And there's many times in life we face those kind of fears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can either run or we can face them.
Right. What are some other some practical fears? I saw a couple hands over here. Yes. Really, yeah. Yeah, you were in the wrong place if you fear about that.
So, yeah, no, but I've been doing that lately. I signed up, and I'm still scared.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah. And I need to be stretched, so.
That's awesome. That is huge. That is really cool. That's awesome. Maybe one more practical fear.
Fear of change.
Fear of change, yeah. How do you fight that one? It's like, I am trying to figure that out. That's right. That's right. You embrace it, right? You embrace it. That's right. Well, number three, we replace the fears, which are ultimately the lies, right? with faith and the truth of what God says about himself, you and your situation. You replace the fears with faith and the truth of what God says about himself, you and your situation. You know, guys, I just encourage you in life, you know this, but there's this idea of just keeping God in your view. You know, it's so easy to get our eyes off of Jesus, get our eyes off of God in any situation and in life. But if we will keep our eyes on him, and that's what I love about this time tithe and abiding in Jesus, you can't help but if you're really going after that, you're keeping your eyes on God. You're keeping your eyes on Jesus. And then when these fears come, when the lies come, when the circumstances come, because they're going to come, if your eyes are on God, man, you're replacing those fears. And you're knowing the truth of God. You replace it with that truth. You replace those fears with the truth of what God says about him, about himself, about you, about your situation. What I want to do right now is we're going to do a little bit of group work for just a few minutes. You've got some questions there in your notes. And so what I want to do is at your table for about 5 minutes, there's three questions there. And I want you to dig into God's word together and answer the following questions. Some of them you may know scriptures right offhand, right? And go ahead and list them. And so it's just a cool exercise for you guys to do at your tables for about 5 minutes. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about them and then we'll wrap things up. Sound good? All right, jump into it. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and have us share a little bit real quick. I know we're kind of a little bit short on time. And so if you didn't get a chance to finish them all, I apologize. But why don't we just start with number one. What does God say about himself in his word? A couple tables, just share what you came up with. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. We are his. Love that. Anybody else? Yes. Love that. Any other ones? What does God say about himself and his word? His love. He's forgiving. I am that I am. Period. Right? Right. Number two, what does God say about you? You and I. We're created in God's image. Absolutely. There you go. We are his children. Absolutely. Chosen people set aside for himself. What about over here? 1 Peter 2:9. He called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Yes, love that. That's good. What does God say about any struggles, fears, and anxiety in his word?
Fear not.
Absolutely. Yeah? Absolutely. Yes. That's all right. In Matthew, yep.
What is it?
I love me some Jolene. She just knows the word. Yeah, they did. They did speak to that in part 3. Yep, Matthew chapter 6. Dan, you had mentioned one right back here. Absolutely. Very cool. Yep. Yes, absolutely. We're going to mention that one here in a minute. Well, guys, let's jump to number four here real quick. How to overcome your fears. Number four, allow God to heal the source of your fear, of that fear, right? Allow God to heal the source, right? You know, we can have emotional type fears. I don't want to call them small fears, but just these other fears. But then we can have some that we really need to allow the Lord to heal that source of our fear. It could have been something done to us, you know, that has caused this fear, and we need to allow God to heal that source. Jolene, what were you going to say? That's right. No, that's very true. Just back away. Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
You know, that keeps you out of danger and is a temporary thing.
Right.
It's a safeguard. But when that fear is overriding and long-term and deep-rooted, yes, and it is affecting your life.
Yeah, and that's what...
It's paralyzing you.
Absolutely.
That's when it's got to be dealt with.
And that's... Yeah. And that's the fear we're talking about tonight. I think that so many Christians, so many believers, it is hindering them. It is holding them back from what God wants for them and reaching their God-given potential. Yeah. That is so true. Yeah. That's so good. Miss Pat brought up a good point. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people have this unhealthy fear of the Lord that, you know, yeah, based from a situation from maybe something they were told, something they were taught even, or just a bad experience with their earthly father, right?
You know, I think we can have fear of being obedient.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know. I mean, you have no clue what that obedience is going to look like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's so true.
It's
absolutely.
If we trust who he is and what he's done before, I mean, we've had talks with Julia where, you know, we weren't giving her the answer she wanted on something she wanted to do, and it came down to, well, do you trust us as your parents? And at that moment, she could not say yes.
Right. Yeah.
And gosh, y'all, I'm telling you, parenting a 3 and almost 4 year old right now is Jesus is teaching me life.
Amen. Amen.
Like how he's so fixated on what his brother has that he cannot enjoy what he does have.
Right.
He's so paralyzed, but I want that. And I found myself this week like, you're so focused on your brother you can't even realize what you have to play with.
But you just
it's true. So good. That's right. That's good. That's right. Well, here's a couple. No, it's okay. You guys are adding to it. It's good. Here's a couple verses about allowing God to heal the source of our fear, right? Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears, right? Psalm, if you're fearful, if you're struggling with fear, camp out in Psalms for a while. Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then finally, 1 John 4:18. Perfect love, cast out all fear, right? Number 5, the final way how to overcome your fears is to choose to live a life of faith and great courage. It's a choice. It's a choice. Sometimes that choice is hard and difficult, but it's a choice. Another great quote from that same book I was talking about earlier from Brené Brown, Daring Greatly. It says they have found that the belief in our own unworthiness drives us to live fear-based lives, right? We are afraid of letting people see who we really are and potentially exposing ourselves, so we avoid the one thing that can actually make us more courageous, and that's vulnerability. Many people just struggle, many believers struggle with the idea of even being vulnerable, and men being the biggest, right? I mean, we just, as guys, we struggle with that, but we don't realize that vulnerability is the birthplace of connection. It's the birthplace to be real, to be who God called us to be vulnerable, to just be, this is who I am. This is who God created me to be, right? So that's huge and powerful. You had mentioned Joshua 1:9 earlier, right? Have I not commanded you? It's a commandment we see that God is giving Joshua, but he gives it to us too. Be strong and courageous. He says that how many times in that chapter it's mentioned, be strong and courageous. He was really trying to get the point across. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He was preparing Joshua. He's preparing us, right? And so that's so important. I think probably the greatest, Good ringtone. That's all right. I like it. That should be. It's funny because Candace walked in as that was going on, and that's my cue to like wrap it up, bro. So let me say this, guys. I mean, there's so many great examples. We've looked at some of them tonight from God's word on dealing with fear. But I think, you know, one of the greatest stories in the Bible is David and Goliath, right? We've talked about that a little bit. It's the comeback story. It's not just preached in sermons. Man, business people use it as illustrations. Sports, they use it in sports all the time. David and Goliath, you know, there's all these things. But David made a choice to face the giant and slay it. He responded to the fear of others with faith and courage and God's power and strength. And I love that. And here's the deal. I'm going to say something that I've come to realize, and maybe you might think, what are you saying when I say this? But, you know, guys, in that story, when you read David and Goliath, we're not David. Do you hear me? You're not David in that story. I don't know if you realize that. You might be like, wait a second, I've heard that all my life. God's David. He's the giant slayer, right? It's just in God's incredible way of using the small thing and using the thing that nobody else, the person that nobody else would have ever thought of, the guy that couldn't fit in the armor, God used a teenage boy to slay a 9-foot giant of a man in full armor, right? And that is just so, I've missed that for all these years. That I'm not David. God is David in that story. He's the giant slayer. This little boy comes from Bethlehem and uses a slingshot and kills the giant and cuts his head off. And he walks 20 miles with his head, right? I know that's kind of graphic, but he did. And he used this little boy to do it. And it reminds us that there was another boy from Bethlehem who slayed another giant, the giant, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, lived those 30 years to go to the cross and to die for you and I, to bleed for us and to die this horrible death and to put to death sin, right? To put to death those things and to put to death fear, guys. And I just want us to remember that. I love in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, the Lord who rescued me, this is David speaking to Saul, he said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. It's the Lord. It wasn't David, right? It was the Lord through David, just kind of like Dan, you were saying a while ago, right? And when we are abiding in him, and guys, and we're spending that extravagant time with Jesus, man, we can begin to understand that he has slayed fear. And here's the deal, guys. You know, there's dead things, because that's at the end of the day, Jesus won the victory. He slayed sin, you know? He slayed fear. It's dead. But dead things can still be deadly. And if we're not careful, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, if we take our eyes off of God, it can still be deadly. You know, you brought the snake up a while ago, and I said I was going to bring that up again. I was looking at this idea. Did you guys know that if you take like a good-sized rattlesnake, and it dies in the wilderness, months later, if for whatever reason you're walking through that wilderness barefooted, I don't know why you would, but let's say you are, and you step on the fangs of that rattlesnake that's been dead for a few months, there is enough venom spring-loaded in those fangs that if you step on it, you're going to have medical attention months later. Isn't that crazy? Something dead can still be deadly. And I just use that as an illustration to remind us, guys, that fear is dead. Sin is dead. Jesus did it. He won the victory, right? But if we're not careful, we got to keep our eyes on him. But fear can still be deadly, but it doesn't have to be. And so God, he wants us to live a life without fear and trust him and go after our God-given potential. And I'm just so gripped by that, and I just hope it encourages some of you in the room tonight that as Christians, maybe for many, many, many years, you can serve Jesus and love Jesus with all your heart and still be handcuffed and paralyzed by certain fears, the spirit of fear that is in your life, and you don't have to be. Uh-huh. It is. It's a daily thing, and that's what abiding in Jesus and this lived-dead experience is teaching us, that if we will keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our eyes on the Lord, he can be trusted, and we cannot be so paralyzed by fear. Zechariah 4:6, so he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Say that really fast, Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty, right? Just remember this, guys, as we go into a time, I know a couple of you had hands up, but I just want to get us finished on time here. But as we go into kind of a reflection time to end tonight, remember that we belong to him. You belong to him, guys. You are his sons and daughters. And he is for us, not against us, right? He is our shield and our strong tower, as we shared some of those scriptures tonight. He's our perfect father. Isaiah 43:1, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That is for all of you in this room tonight. And you don't have to live paralyzed by fear. What I want to do is, Mr. Tommy, if you could go ahead and just start that worship music. Take a few minutes to end class. I've got a couple questions here, faith and action. What lies has fear been speaking to you? If you know them, I want you to list them. I want you to list them in your notes. And then after that, we've heard a lot of scriptures tonight. We've heard a lot of promises from God's word. What are the promises from God that counteract those lies? Right? You may not get all this finished tonight, but I just want you to get moving in that process of listing what fears have paralyzed you, have attacked you for years maybe, and then begin to think of the promises that counteract that. And then finally, I want us to begin writing out a prayer that we can begin declaring each and every day as a reminder that through Jesus, we no longer have to listen to the voice of fear in our life anymore, because God is in control, all right? So just take a few minutes to do that. All right, guys. Well, if you didn't get to finish that, I highly encourage you guys to take some time in your prayer time this week, your time with Jesus as you're doing Live Dead. Take the time to finish those lists, those two lists. And then again, just writing out a prayer. It doesn't have to be anything amazing. It doesn't have to be anything long. But just a reminder to yourself that we no longer have to listen to the voice of fear in our lives. And I want to pray over you guys as we get ready to leave. Do you guys mind standing? We just kind of stand together to represent the whole team here tonight, the whole group of us that, there may be some of you in the room tonight that this has been something you have struggled with for years. You love the Lord. You've been serving the Lord. You've been attending church. You've been growing, trying to grow in your relationship with the Lord. But fear has been something that has just been a roadblock for you. It's been a hindrance for you, this spirit of fear in your life. And we just want to see that fall off of you. And God begin to free you from that so that you can, begin to reach out and discover all that God has for you. I don't want you to miss out on the opportunities. I don't want you to miss out on that freedom that God has for us. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, thank you for this group. Thank you for tonight, Lord. I know just even preparing for tonight, you've spoken so much to me. Because God, just being real, that fear is something that the enemy has used in my life many times. And just when I think I have victory over it, God, there's another moment where fear or worry or doubt or anxiety will pop in. But God, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And God, we read so many scriptures. We talked about so many truths and promises from your word tonight, God. And God, I pray for every individual in this room, for those who are just struggling with fear, God, that feel paralyzed, God, and it has paralyzed them from moving forward in their walk with you. It has paralyzed them from discovering the dream and accomplishing the dreams that you have for their life. God, it has held them back. God, I pray that they would be free tonight. God, that the truths and the promises that we talked about, God, and God, as we abide in you, as we dive into this Live Dead journal and study, God, that there would be things that are written and things, the challenges that are given to us, God, that will help us get our eyes completely focused on you and not distracted to the left and to the right, God, from those things that the enemy wants to throw at us, especially fear. God, fear is a liar. It's a liar running out of breath. God, that's the enemy's native language. But your word is true, God. You are so true. Your word is true for today. It's true for us, and you love us. We belong to you, every person in this room. And God, I pray that we would live in freedom from fear, Lord God. Fear, emotional fear will come and go, God. But for those who have been paralyzed by the spirit of fear, God, I pray that they would begin to walk and live in freedom, God. God, that we can completely surrender to you, to your will, to your plans for our life, God. Lord, I love you. We love you, God. We thank you for all your many blessings in our life. And I pray that you just bless each person here, God, and their commitment to you, their commitment to grow. God, just bless them and be with them the rest of this week and into this weekend, God. God, as we are challenged by this live-dead experience, God, God, as Pastor Talia was saying, help us not get legalistic. Help us not get wrapped up into, did I do exactly that amount of time like I'm supposed to? God, it's just about that time with you, God. God, but I pray that we're stretched. And God, as we read, as we take time to listen, as we take time to worship, as we take time to pray throughout the day, God, whether it's three or four times a day, or it's all in the morning or all in the evening, God, speak to these guys. God, let their lives be changed forever because of this semester and what they were willing to sacrifice, what they were willing to surrender, what they were willing to let go of so that they could become all that you've called them to be. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, we love you. Pray that you have a great rest of the week.